Listen to the Lord who created you. The one who formed you says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior."
Good morning. How we feel? Oh, is there a clap? Did I get a clap? Yes. Can I get a standing? No. It's all good. Hey, glad you're here. Glad you guys are joining us online. Metro, what's up? It's good to be here. Good. A lot of good things happening. It's a good season, right? Finally, we're over the monsoons. I feel like we're going to get some sunshine, right? Right? I think some of you guys got sunburnt. You look a little tan. Right? It's really great. A lot of cool things happening in our city. There's basketball. Man, who's following basketball? Anybody? Yes. I have no idea what's going on, but I know there's something with the Clevelands and the, and I don't even know what that is, but I think Steph Curry, right? And LeBron are having lunch or something. I don't know. But anyways, it's a lot of good things happening in sports. Yeah. A lot of amazing things happening here too, and I want to just shout out to a particular couple, Leslie Spears and Tanner Spears. Yes. All right, yes. Their family apparently is here, and not really, but you guys love celebrating people. That's why I love you guys. I want to give a shout out to them because during the summer, I mean, I've got summer plans, but they've got some summer plans, and they've actually set up a reading program in the summer for Charlotte Family Housing. And it's really amazing. And so in the summer, they're going to be doing that for so many kids. And so thank you. These guys are awesome. Give them a hand. Can we do that? Because who works in the summer and they're like serving in the summer? This is beautiful, and they actually got to do this with all the books that you guys provided. So a couple of weeks ago, we did What If Everyone, which was our outreach serve day. It's our initiative, it's our campaign, and so we wanted to collect about 200 books, and we ended up collecting 700 books. So apparently you guys have given up on reading altogether. And you've given all your books away. And so we got all these books. And so this is going to be awesome. So thank you for being generous. Thank you for being a very gracious church. And I want to also just say this for those of you who give to Mosaic. I mean, it allows us to do a lot of things in their neighborhood, in our city, around the world. I mean, we've got a Dominican trip coming up as well. And it wouldn't be possible if you guys didn't give. Like, so those of you who tithe and give sacrificially, and especially in the summer, I mean, you guys consistently give. We need it. We wouldn't be able to do the things we do without you. And so thank you so much for giving. And those of you who are like, tithe, what is that? Let's make an appointment. Let's talk about this. Okay, no. But it's the people who just give a certain amount of their income, and it allows us to do all the things that we get to do here. So thank you for your generosity. Thank you so much. Keep at it. When we get together, we can do so much more. So appreciate your giving. This morning, I want to continue our series. This is week 3 of a series called Voices. And I'm hoping that you begin hearing voices, good ones at least. And so when we kicked off our first week, we talked about this idea that we need to take off the negative narrative that we've been listening to. That some of us, we need to start with that. Like, that's the first thing we need to do. And so I had some earplugs, or I should say like headphones, or they call AirPods. And I took those off just to signify like, hey, I think some of us need to take off and stop listening to particular things that even negative talk that we've been hearing. And so the next week after that, which was last week, I began the conversation, and I had a Q-tip, right? And some of you guys enjoyed that a whole lot. Stuck it in my ear. You guys were like, that's gross, but it was so good. And the whole idea was we need to clean out, some of the stuff that in our lives so we can actually hear God. This morning, I want to take it a step further, and I want to actually talk about how do you quiet the noise in your life. The noise in your life. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes life gets a little too loud. Have you ever experienced that? You're in a space and then it just starts getting loud, right? Like the chatter gets really loud. Really loud. Really loud. Oh. I'm good. All right. How was that experience? That was good? It was good for me. Was it? It wasn't good at all, was it? You know what's interesting, though? What's interesting is that, like, in life, I kind of sometimes want it to be loud. Like, I don't mind this noise around certain places in my life. Now, sometimes it gets a little crazy and gets really annoying, right? So, like, if we turn on the music and gets really, really loud. Have you ever been to a space that you're like, okay, this is a little too loud? But have you been to a place where it's not loud enough? So this has become my favorite restaurant. It's called Kung Fu. It's in the Charlotte, Huntersville area, and it's a sushi place, obviously, of course. So the first time I went there, they had just, I think they opened up, that was the first week. So we got there, and I was so, I don't know what it was, I was just anxious. And I told Ashley, I was like, there's no music. She said, what? I said, there's no music. Have you noticed? There's no music. And she's like, okay, relax. There's food here. I was like, no. I said, there's no music. There's something wrong. Like, we gotta have music. She said, are you serious? Like, we just ordered some amazing sushi. You want music? I'm like, it's. And so I saw the owner because he introduced himself early on. And I said, hey, man, is there any music? And my wife is like, I don't know him. I don't know him. I'm going to run away. I'm going to run away. And he goes, I think he thought I was going to be asking for chopsticks. I was like, no. Is there music? And he goes, yeah, I have music. I said, can you turn it up? And he said, what? I said, can you just turn it up? And he said, okay. All right. I said, just turn it up, man. Just turn it up. It's better that way. He went and he turned it up. I was like, thumbs up. It's awesome. Love it. I don't know if you realize this, but music and noise is critical to human interaction. Did you know that? It's really critical. Like, movies are made by music. Like, the soundtrack conveys everything. Like, the music or noise can actually be very awkward or extremely comforting. And sometimes in my life, I want a little noise around my life. Partly because I don't want everybody to know what I'm talking about. But other than that, there's this comfort. In fact, you can actually hide in the noise of your life. And I think for some of us, we've started by hiding in the noise in our life in particular area. Maybe it's a relationship situation. Maybe it's career. Maybe it's your anxiety. And there's enough noise around it, and you're kind of comforted by that. Because if it got too silent, it would be really awkward for you, and you'd have to face some real honest truths. I mean, like some of us, we just don't like the fact that it's too quiet. I know I don't. The problem is that God speaks to us when we turn down the noise in our life. And so for the past couple of weeks, I've had titles for each talk. I told you, like, I got the titles for each of these talks the first time, the first week. And I don't do titles, but the first week was, you know, I forget the title. What was the title? I don't even know the title. It was something to do with Gossip in the Garden. Thank you, Ashley, my love of my life. Gossip in the Garden. The second one was Voice in the Wilderness. And so this morning, I want you to quiet down the noise so you can hear the whisper in the wind. The whisper in the wind. Because God speaks to us, and the way he does it is sometimes in a whisper. You would agree, right? A whisper is very different from just regular conversation, right? It just means very different things. Right? Like if I were to look at you and I go, love you, just say it out loud. You're like, I love you too. If I crept up close to you and I went, love you, how would you feel? Right? it's a weird thing. If I said, man, I just love kids. If I said it out loud, it's all good. If I come up to you and go, I just love kids. You're like, what the? Is it true? It's true. When you get closer and you say something, it means something totally different. I think for some of us, though, for some of us, you really want to hear from God. You really want God to speak to you about a particular subject. The problem is you want him to scream. Like your whole life is about God from a distance saying, I love you, do this, don't do that. It's from a distance. You've never got close enough to hear him. And it means something extremely different when someone whispers something to you. And so I don't know where you are in your relationship with God, but if you're just used to hearing God from people like me, like hearing God's voice from sermons or podcasts or events or worship experiences, and if you're just used to God's voice from a distance saying very clearly, God loves you, God has a purpose for your life, and you get direction from God when it's really loud, then maybe you never really hear from God. Because if you have never really heard God's whisper, then you might not really know what he's talking about. Because when he tells you from me, hey, I love you, it means so much different when he comes closer and he goes, you know, I really love you. Because that's when your soul hears him. And your soul has ears. It hears. So, how do we engage in this? What does it look like to quiet the noise that we hear, the whisper in the wind? Because the whisper in the wind is God's voice talking to us. First of all, we have to realize there are several things that happen in our lives. And the story that really illustrates this so well is a guy named Elijah. Elijah is a prophet well known in the scriptures, especially Old Testament scriptures. And this guy was known to do miraculous things, like God would just use him to do just supernatural things. And there are so many things that we could talk about, but I want to read you a passage. But before he gets to this point, he has just done something so epic. I mean, he has come against about 450 prophets that are on from the other side. I mean, you've got, you know, the Jewish people, and then you've got other people who are oppressing them. And so there's a lot of context to that. But basically what you need to know is this, is that he had a showdown with 450. Some would even say there were 400 other prophets as well. He has a showdown to figure out whose God is bigger, like whose God is more powerful. And they do this whole sacrifice thing, and they want to burn up an offering, and Elijah just has a great victory, epic win. He burns the offering. He calls fire down from heaven, which is, I mean, if you got that superpower, hello, Marvel is calling you. You know what I'm saying? Before DC gets you. Anyways, but he is having a really great moment. In fact, what happens after that is he wins that battle, but he ends up also, like, basically killing all the other prophets, because there's a lot of killing going on in this context. I mean, there's war, and so he has just annihilated a whole bunch of people just by calling down fire from heaven and being, you know, having God use him supernaturally. Point is, the guy has just been, he's at a mountaintop experience, like, oh my gosh, you haven't been endowed with power, you are you're the person that has all the power. It got so intense, though, in a sense, where everybody started talking to him. Everybody started talking to them, and that season, that region, everybody began talking. There was a lot of chatter about what Elijah had done. And the people in power on the opposite side got really nervous about this. And so they began trying to figure out, how are they going to destroy a guy who can destroy about 1,000 people just by a prayer? Like, how do you destroy this guy? This guy seems untouchable. God apparently is with him. He's a sorcerer, they thought. They didn't know what to think. The big idea there is, life for Elijah got really, really loud. It got so loud. For him, it was not anxiety. It was not concern. It wasn't doubt. It wasn't trauma. It was actually success. It was a lot of good things. Life just got loud. Sometimes good things can get really, really loud. How many of you have kids? They're good things. I mean, they're not even things, but they're good. They're more than things. Kids are people too. I just read that. Yeah. So they're people too. But how many of you would just love to say, shut up? Yes. I didn't even say it. I whispered it. Right? You just want to, hey, just give me some time here. You are in my brain. Like, stop it. Right? Some of us at work, the same thing. You just like, just get off of me. Like, I just need this, whatever. Like, you're in a place where you're like, I just need everything to just be quiet. Just turn it down. Life got really loud for him, and here's what happened with him. Let's read the story. So verse 19, I want to kick it off. I mean, chapter 19. So 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. It says, when Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done. So basically, this guy goes to his wife and he says, hey, she's the queen. He goes, hey, this is what's happened, including the way that he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. So now this woman finds out about it. She's in power. She's on the other side. And she sends him a message. I don't know if it was like a tweet. Maybe it was a Facebook comment. I'm not quite sure. But here's what happens. This is what she leaves. She says, may the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you've killed them. Smiley face. Like, it's serious. But how many people is Jezebel? One, male or female? Female, friends, female, one female. He just annihilated hundreds of men. So he should be in a really good place right now. Really good place. Next verse, Metro, check this out. Elijah was afraid. Excuse me. What is up with these women, guys? Like, men can say all kinds of stuff, and one woman looks at you and like, oh my gosh. He was afraid and fled for his life. He fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, and a town in Judea, and he left his servant there. Then he went on along into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary bloom tree and he prayed that he might what? What, bro? It's one girl, man. It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be okay. You remember those dudes? Call fire down. It's gonna be all good. He's like, now he is afraid. He's running for his life. And then he goes to like, I want to die. And then he says this, I have had enough, Lord. He said, take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who had already died. And then he laid down and slept under a bloom tree. What in the world is going on? A couple of things. Number one, life got really, really loud. Really, really loud. And when life gets loud, you start having negative emotions. And you just start getting negative emotions. The problem with negative emotions is that you can do two things with them. You can either respond to them or you don't. The problem is when you respond to them, here's what happens. You respond to the negative emotion and then a deeper negative emotion takes place. So it starts off was he was afraid, right? He was afraid. Then it says he what? He fled. So he was afraid. He reacted to the negative emotion. He flees. He does a negative thing. He runs away. Dude, you are big man on campus. You are the guy. Everybody's tweeting about it. No one's talking about the wedding. Everybody's talking about you. You're a big deal. You're a big deal. But something happened. Life got too loud. Something happened. He got afraid. Then he runs away. Then did you notice what he did? He goes into a town, right? He goes into a town and he tells his servant to what? Stay there. And then what does he do? He leaves. He has basically set up his servant as a decoy. He's like, hey, dude, why don't you try this on? I know it's mine. Just wear this. Sit right there. Aren't people looking for you? No. No one's looking for me. Just sit right here. Where are you going? I'm going somewhere else. You just pretend that you're actually in this town. He actually is setting up his servant to get killed. He's like, hey, I look just like you. Yeah, just wear this. Where are you going, sir? I'll be back. He takes off, and then he goes, he starts having these thoughts because a negative emotion turns into a negative act, or he reacts negatively, turns to a deeper. He goes from, I'm just afraid, to, why was I born? You know, I just prayed I might die, to actually going and sleeping under a tree in the desert or whatever, to do what? To die. Bro, what is going on with you? See, sometimes we think that success and everything that when it comes together, we think it's going to be the best thing for us. And sometimes success and epic highs in our life end up like just opening the doors to some really dark places in our life. It's because life just gets too loud for good or bad reasons. And for some of us, what happens is that you have negative emotions just come in and you start doing negative things and it's deeper negative emotions. And in the midst of all that, you really can't hear God say anything. And the reason is that you have not turned down the noise concerning this issue. You've not turned down the noise. You were afraid, you fled, you're running away, you're doing something, but you are not hearing God. Because honestly, it's not because you're like super sinful. He wasn't super sinful. He didn't do anything. Some of us think, you know what? God doesn't like me. God has moved away. We think God is silent. God thinks that I need to get my act together and then he would move. And then some of us, it's as simple as this. It's too loud around you. It's just too loud around this issue. There's too much chatter going on. There's too much. You haven't figured that out. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just that you've got this situation and you got to turn down the what? You got to turn down the noise. Now, how do we do that? See what God does. Let's keep on going. So he does several things with Elijah. First thing he does is basically, I'll give you some points here just to make him easy. I think he asks him to press pause. Press pause. How do I know this? Because if you continue reading, it says here, as he was sleeping, he doesn't want to wake up, right? An angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. Get up and eat. He's like, I just need you to eat. Just get up and eat. It's really great though. When we actually do something that's negative, sometimes God just gives us a very practical, hey, just get up and eat. Like you are not you and you're hungry. Sneakers. I want my money. Anyway, so we're not. How many of you have done some things, said some things and because you were hungry? Anybody? Your wait staff on your table, they're people too. But they're not people when you're hungry. Like when you're hungry, I mean, oh my gosh, you'll do anything. And sometimes you don't think straight. And so God says, hey, I want you to press pause. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up and eat. Verse 6, he says, he looked around and there was beside him or some baked bread on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and laid down again. I love what God does here. He says, before I talk to you about anything, I need you to get off this cycle. I need you to press pause. I can't solve all the things that are going on right now, but here's what I need you to do. I need you to just stop what you are doing. Sometimes the best thing that God tells us, and the first thing God tells us is this, just don't react negatively. Like if you can't think any positive thoughts, if you can't think anything good will come out of this, just don't do the next negative thing. It's better to just not do anything. It's better to just not do anything and just wait. Here he says, I just want you to go to bed. I want you to eat and then I want you to go to bed. I want you to rest. Some of us, the first thing you need to do to turn down the noise in your life is just to rest. And if you feel guilty, like me, taking a nap, if you feel guilty not working and doing something because you're supposed to be doing something all the time, it's just because you just feel you're driven by the noise in your life and you just need to stop. I love what God does here because what he's really honestly doing is this. He's telling you to control your heart rate. Like so, the best way I can explain it to you is sometimes in life we redline. And what I mean by redline is like you are out of breath in your life because you're just running around so much. And so like I can you know, I relate this to a workout because, like, if it's a really hard workout, I know this, and I've been told by coaches, you know, or athletes that know better. They go, regardless of like what your body is going to react during this workout, the one thing you can control is your heart rate. If you let go of your heart rate, if you lose it, if you can't control your heart rate, you can't control this workout. Like, your muscles might fatigue, you might have something come up, whatever. But if you don't control your heart rate, it's kind of over. For some of us, before you get anywhere else, you have to control your heart rate. You have to slow down. You're like, no, I just want to hear from God. Stop. Just stop. The first thing you need to do is just stop. Press pause in your life. Now, there is a process. The second thing he says is this. He says, I want you to get away from the noise. So press pause, number one, get away from the noise. Verse 7, then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more. Or the journey ahead will be too much for you. The journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank and the food and gave him enough strength to travel for what? 40 days and what? 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And he says here, this is so profound, guys. He says, okay, now I want you to rest, but there's a reason why you're resting. And I want you to eat because there's a reason why you're resting. You're actually going to physically move. You're actually going to go on a journey. It's 40 days, 40 nights. I mean, it's a ways away. And what he's saying is the first thing you need to do is press pause. Second is you need to physically move out of the world that you're in right now. And for some of you, it is a day trip. It might be some like, yeah, I'm going to take the weekend, I'm going to go somewhere. For some of you, it's creating distance from the noise in your life. You're like, no, I can do this. No. You actually need to leave your kids with your mom or someone that you love and trust or whatever, and then go somewhere else. You need to get away from the noise. No, I can handle it. No, you can't, sweetheart, you can't. You need to really move away. Dude, you have to do this. I feel guilty. No, I know. But you have to physically move. Because here's what you're going to do. How many of you have ever thought this? Oh, I just want a vacation. Anybody? Right? You have a vacation, and then you come back and you go, I want a vacation from the vacation. Right? We all want to go on vacation. You know what causes that? Like, what causes that? Like, if you have this need to go on vacation, you know what it is? It's the fact that you want to actually get away, but you're running away. You're running away. And here's how you know the difference. When you run without purpose, you're running away from something. When you run with purpose, you're actually running towards something. And so God comes to him and says, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to rest up. I want you to eat. Get your pack of lunch, bro. Here's what you're going to do. You're actually going to run towards something. You're going to move towards something. Some of you have moved to the city. You've moved to the city, and you're actually running away from something. But you could actually move and change and run towards something that God has for you. In life, we need to always run towards, not run away. And it starts with us getting away from the noise in our life. What does it look like? And for him, it was like, you can't be in this place. You don't need to be in the city where you left your servant. By the way, I think he's gone. And then you can't be under this tree. You have to actually move to a mountain. God's taking you somewhere. Where do you need to go? Okay. Point three. He wants you to start talking with your soul. Talking with and to your soul. I love this idea. I love this idea about talking to or talking with your soul because, I don't know, maybe it's just my thing, you know, but I do that all the time. I do that. I think Ashley realized that really quick, you know, that I just talk to myself all the time. She's like, hey, is someone here? No, hon, it's just me. And now it's my kids. My kids do this. Actually, my son, he's 14 now, and he's at that age that he can actually mock me. Yeah, I'm going to ship him back to Kuwait. Anyways, but no, I'm not. Can't do that. But he was like talking to me about the conversation I have with him. He says, Dad, you know how you talk to me sometimes? I go, what? He's like, you talk in opposites. He says, you'll start off and you go, hey, you know what? I think what we're going to do is we're going to go out to eat over here. And you know what? No, that is a terrible idea. We should probably not do that because it's Tuesday and we're not going to do that. Yeah, yeah. But you know what? On Tuesdays, it actually works. So let's just do this. Let's invite so-and-so. No, that's, no. We can't invite them. And we can't invite them because they, no, we need to ask mom. Well, no, let's ask mom. Let's talk to mom. Let's clear the schedule. No. Why? It doesn't matter. We're just going to do this. We're just going to do this. We need to ask mom. We're just going to do this. Yeah, we are. But I don't even want sushi. I want something else. A pizza would be great. Yeah, but pizza. Oh, I don't know. But cheese. Ah, I love cheese. But that shrimp sauce is really awesome. So he just, in the car one, like the other day, he just went off. He was like, this is how you talk to me. And I said, okay, well, that's how you know I'm not really talking to you. You're just here. I just told him, I said, you're just here. It could be anybody. He's like, you're not talking to me? I was like, nope. I'm talking to myself. And this is a me conversation, you know? Don't butt in, bro, you know? And personal space, hello. And he's like, I'm the only one in the car. I was like, yeah, I know. There's a lot of me in here. There's so many of us. Legion. Anyway, so... And so what's interesting, though, is I don't think that in the Christian world, we don't talk about this a lot. Because in the scriptures, you actually find that you need to talk to your soul and with your soul. There's a lot of conversations you need to actually have that are in you. You know, I love when Jesus said to this woman at the well, if you know the story, Jesus goes up to this well, and this woman comes to draw water, and then Jesus asks for water. And he goes, and she goes like, why should I give you this drink, you know? And because they shouldn't be talking to different people groups and all that kind of stuff. And he goes, if you only knew who was asking for this water. And, she doesn't know what he's up to and all that. And then they get into a conversation. And he goes, you know what? Honestly, I can give you some water that you'll never need to come back and get water ever again. And she's intrigued by it. And then he basically explains this. He says, you've been trying to fulfill your life with so many different things in your life, and you're always trying to fill it from the outside in. But what I can do actually is I can fill you in from the inside out. The water I give you will become living water. In fact, it'll become a fountain, a spring of living water within you. And what Jesus is really saying here is this, is that the words that you and your soul really need to hear are going to come from the inside out, not from the outside in. It starts with you actually really processing who and what and why and where you are. It starts with this. Here's what happened. So in verse 9, it says that he came to a cave and where he spent the night, but the Lord said to him, what are you doing here? What do you mean, what are you doing here? You told me to come here. The angel, remember that dude? What do you think? He's not asking physically, what are you doing here? I believe that this is a conversation that he's having inside, within. What are you doing here? Elijah replied, and then this is why I know this, because in verse 10 he says this, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenants with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Have you ever got to a point where you try to start talking in extremes? I'm the only one who cares in this family. I'm the only one who cleans up. I'm the only one. And you never do this. And you're always late. Some of you guys are like, what's wrong with that? Because that's not real talk. You can't have conversations with that. That is him saying, his soul is saying, because your soul talks like that. Why do I keep always doing that? I am not going to apologize. Have you ever said that? It's not my turn. It's hers. It's not mine. It's not mine. You do that all the time. We do that. See, the great thing about talking to your soul, it allows you to actually express what you're really, really feeling. Have you asked your soul this? Hey, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Like you're in a moment of deep sadness. Have you asked your soul, hey, what are you doing here? What are you doing? Have you asked your soul this? Hey, why are you so afraid? Hey, why do you feel so guilty? Hey, you know this is not good, right? You know, right? Have you had that soul conversation? It changes the game for all of us when you begin to talk to your soul and with your soul and start thinking. God wants you to actually get to that place. It's all about turning down the noise. It's not one thing, it's all of these things. You have to get out what you're really, really thinking. And then something changes. Then, point four here is, and then you hear the whisper in the wind. Verse 11, it says, after he said all that, God said this, go out, stand before me in the mountain. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was a what? An earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a what? It's a fire. All of these are loud, attention-getting things. All of these are like, oh, look at me. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. All of these will get a natural reaction from us. And then after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a what? A sound of a what? A gentle whisper. And this is the cool thing, when Elijah heard it what? The whisper. When he heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak. You know why? Because they believed that you couldn't see the face of God. He was like, he's close. I can't see him. He covered his face. He went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And so the second time the question is asked, it's kind of a, let me tell you what you're doing here. See, for some of us, your concern, your big thing in life has so much noise around it. And for you, some of you, it's actually comforting. You want that. You want to silence the inner voice because it's too hard to talk about it. And for some of us, it's just comforting to know that you're going to be in a place that's noisy. So no one really knows what you're going through, and you never have to face yourself. And you never have to really think about and talk about what you're feeling inside. The problem with when life gets too noisy and too loud, that negative things start creeping up. And our temptation to actually fall prey to those and actually do them very high. And when you, like I said before, when you take part in that and you let yourself do that, it turns not into a positive. No, it actually turns to a deeper negative emotion and then a deeper negative reaction. And it's just a cycle. And you go from slaying like 850 people, like epic success of your life to, I just want to go and die. All of that happens when life gets too loud. Question is this, what do you need to do to turn down the noise? Because I believe that God wants to whisper to you. And you know why he does it? You know why he does it? I'll tell you why. Because he likes being close to you. He just really likes being close to you. There's something beautiful about a whisper. It's the one way you communicate with someone and people actually feel your breath. It's the closest. That's why, I don't know if you know this, but I mentioned this like a couple of months ago. The word Yahweh in Hebrew is so connected to the way breathing takes place. They believed that they couldn't say that word because it had the breath of life. And so they would actually talk about how Yahweh was connected to inhaling and exhaling. So it's like this. They believed that the breath of the Creator was in His word. And that's why every time they would write that, they would break the pencil every time, because they believed that there was so much life into that. So every time a Jewish person would say the word Yahweh, it would be the breath of God breathing down on them. It was so intimate, so powerful. And so this morning, I just wonder, could God just saying, I want to get so close to you, because what you need to hear is not going to come from someone on the stage or on any other stage. It's going to come from me whispering into your soul. So let me pray for you. What does that look like? Let's pray together. Lord God, God, thank you so much for moments like these where we find ourselves in a place where we can actually just slow down and quiet everything. God, thank you so much that you are able to do something in us that's so profound. And the only thing we need to do is just stop. This is the great moment, God, where we just can pause a little bit. God, I pray that for all the noise that's surrounding this relationship, this prayer, this need, this trauma, all the noise surrounding this fear and anxiety, that God, that you would silence it. You give us the opportunity to step into this moment. We would be courageous enough to create that. For some of us, it is moving out of our comfort zones to quiet ourselves, because sometimes noise is so comforting. It's our security blanket. But God, we are going to courageously turn down the noise in our lives that we can hear from you. Some of us are going to press pause and move towards just getting away to talking and getting really real with our souls so we can hear the whisper in the wind. It is your whisper that brings dead things to life. You have the words of life. So God, I pray, in the midst of all that we're going through, we would be quiet enough to hear you. In Jesus' name.